And then turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. I'm going to read just a short passage, one incident. As our Lord is surrounded by crowds and ministering, teaching His disciples, we read this event, Mark 10, verses 13 to 16. It is the Word of God, so let us give heed. And they were bringing children to Him, so that He might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, He was indignant and said to them, "Bring the children to come to me. Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And He took them in His arms and began blessing them, laying His hands on them. We end the reading of God's Word there and ask His blessing on it. So parents are bringing their little children, even babies, to Jesus, maybe kind of worming their way through the crowd to get up to where He is, so that He will touch them and bless them. And Jesus' disciples rebuked those parents. They're bothering Jesus with their children. But when Jesus heard that, saw that, He rebuked His disciples. And He blessed the children. All three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record this event. I read from Mark this morning because it contains the most information, but we learned some other things from the others. 3 points. First, regarding disciples of Jesus and His call to humble service. Second, regarding children and the kingdom of God. And third, regarding Jesus Himself, who came to bless children. So first of all, our Lord and His disciples and the lesson there for us. Why did the disciples shoo people away, do you think? Why did they shoo the parents and children away? Or try to? Well, I think it made them feel like big shots to be able to do that. But I think underneath that was their thinking that little children, babies, they're not very important compared to, well, us, who have a call on the time of Jesus. Did Jesus agree with His disciples? No. In fact, well, our versions are polite. They say He was indignant. That's not a bad translation, but let's be frank. He was angry. He was angry with His disciples for rebuking those parents. And Jesus, after rebuking His disciples, took the children in His arms and touched them and blessed them. From Jesus' words, from Jesus' example, I think we should be able to see that Jesus calls us to love and care for little children, not regard them as unimportant. In fact, regard them as being very important and seek to bless them as we are able. So you and I need to ask ourselves, and I do need to ask this of myself, are you so important in your own eyes that you don't have time to spend with little children? Are you so interested in serious adult matters, even high theology, that you cannot stoop to receive and bless little children? Ask yourself that. The Church of Jesus Christ, our congregation, should care enough about its families, about the parents of the congregation and their children, even their littlest children, to help parents bring their children to Jesus for His blessings. More on that a little later. And I'm not necessarily talking about programs, but I'm talking about you and me in this congregation really taking seriously our need to love and care for little children. Secondly, regarding children and the kingdom of God. In rebuking His disciples, our Lord taught them and teaches us. He said, "Of such is the kingdom of God," referring to these little children. Now, He did not say, this is important, He did not say, all children are in the kingdom of God. Nor did He say, all of these children here are necessarily in the kingdom of God. What did He say? What He said was, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these little children. That is to say, it does belong to little children. There are little children in the kingdom of God. Babies in the kingdom of God. John the Baptist in his mother's womb, leaping upon coming into the presence of, or upon Mary's coming with Jesus in her womb, in the kingdom of God. But also bigger people. Bigger people who are like little children are in the kingdom of God. What Jesus means by that, we'll talk about momentarily. But who were these parents? I think it's an important question to answer. These were not just, he wasn't in Rome. He wasn't in downtown Alexandria, Egypt, or someplace like that with a crowd of Gentiles and Gentile parents coming up. These were Jewish moms and dads. Jewish moms and dads who are worshipers of the Lord, who are part of God's covenant people, who are part of the visible church of that day. And they are bringing their covenant children to Jesus because they believe that Jesus can bless them. Look at all that Jesus does to bless people. We want Him to bless our children. So there is faith in Jesus. The parents believe in Jesus. Now, to what extent they believe and the content of that, that's another matter. But they're bringing their children to Jesus because they believe in Him. Now, Luke refers to these children, not using the word, common word for children, but using a word that we would translate babies. A Greek word that means helpless, nursing babes in arms. God brings into His kingdom the most helpless of people, even babes in arms. By God's ordinance, we welcome these helpless babies of Christian believers into the covenant community, into the kingdom of God on earth, into the visible church, as we have done with Chase this morning. This is what we do in baptism. We welcome the little one whom the Lord has given to His Christian parents or Christian parent into the whole family of God. And what does God do? Well, in addition to the water that we put on the child, God puts His name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on that baby. God says, in effect, I claim you as mine. I put my name on you. I seal the promises of the gospel to you and call you to respond to them in due season with repentance and faith. Now, I've stressed the word helpless because Jesus is dealing with helpless infants, little infants, and because he tells his disciples, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you will not enter it at all. So that's the other part of what it means, that of such is the kingdom of God. Those who receive it as little children. Now, some people might think, well, that means you have to be pure and innocent like a little child. Little children are pure and innocent. Now, we confessed here moments ago that our children are conceived and born in sin. And the only reason babies appear to be innocent for a while is because they don't yet have the capacity to act sinfully. But they acquire it as soon as they can. And we should not think of pure and innocent. Or some people say, well, it means to receive the kingdom of God humbly and meekly as a child does. Again, are children humble and meek by nature? I want. I'm the center of the universe in this family. Serve me. That's the nature of a child. Is that humble and meek? What is the task of parents? To instill a different attitude with the help of God as early as possible. No, it's not that our children are pure and innocent or humble and therefore we're to be like them to receive the kingdom of God. It's because they are, it's in the helplessness of these children. They have to be carried by their parents. They have to be nursed by their mother. They have to be changed. They can't do anything for themselves. And so it is for us in relationship to God, to salvation, to the kingdom of God. There's not anything you or I can do that will change our sinful hearts. We can't do that. There isn't anything we can do to make ourselves good people when we are born sinful people. There isn't anything we can do to pay for and atone for the sins that we commit against God. The Apostle Paul goes so far in Ephesians as to say, in our nature, as we come into this world, descended from Adam and Eve, in our nature we are dead in our transgressions. Dead to God. And dead people can't do anything to change the fact that they are dead. God has to do it. And so, dear brothers and sisters, little children who are old enough to understand what I'm saying to you, that's even David, probably you can talk about it when you get home. You must see how helpless you are before God because of your sin. You must know that you cannot be good enough or do enough to earn admission to His kingdom. You must receive it as a gift of His grace earned by Jesus in His perfect obedience to God, in His dying on the cross to atone for our sins. And we receive that free gift when we reach out the empty hands of faith, claiming nothing for ourselves but confessing our sins and receiving what Jesus came to give. The blessing He came to give. The blessing of new life in Him and of belonging to God forever. Thirdly, let's think of Jesus Himself, the servant who came to bless children. Baptism is a ritual sign that points to Jesus. Jesus commanded us to do this in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew. The Christian Church does this, has done this down through the ages, and we confessed it in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one baptism for the remission of sins. Baptism is a sign. It's a sign that points us to Jesus. Jesus is not only the model, the example we should follow in loving and caring for little children, but more important, far more important, Jesus is the one who saves both parents and children from sin. Baptism doesn't save. Baptism points to the Savior, to Jesus. The parents in the gospel story, they did a good and right thing. They brought their children to Jesus so that He would bless them. Now, parents brought their children this morning to Jesus in baptism. Many of you have done that. I see the children you have brought to the Lord for baptism. Some of them were baptized somewhere else, but many of you were baptized right here. We bring our children to Jesus in baptism and we pray for His blessing on them. Lord Jesus, touch my son, touch my daughter with the work of your Holy Spirit. Because He can't touch them physically, but He sends the Holy Spirit. Lord, touch my son, my daughter, with the work of your Holy Spirit. Give him life with you. Bring him to faith in you. Give him a heart that loves and serves you to all eternity. That's our prayer when we bring our children in baptism, for baptism. But that's just the start. That's all it is, just the start. Moms and dads, keep on bringing your sons and your daughters to Jesus every day. Pray for them and pray with them. Let them know that you're praying for them. Teach them the Word of God in your home, faithfully and diligently. Commend regular family worship. Commend the teaching of the catechism as part of your family life. Commend the singing of hymns and psalms and songs to the Lord as part of your family life. But not only teach them at home and in your life day by day, participate faithfully with your children in the Church of Jesus Christ, in the worship of God, in the teaching and the fellowship and the service of the Church. If you brought your children for baptism in our church or another Orthodox Presbyterian or Reformed church, you made vows to do that. And we heard vows taken just a little while ago, that they would be diligent in making use of the means of grace. So I remind you, Baskingers, and all of you parents, what you have committed yourself to before God. And if, like me, you know that you have fallen short, I mean, I know I have fallen short, seek the grace of God, seek His forgiveness for your failings, and pray that the Lord, in spite of your failings, will bless your efforts to bring your children to saving knowledge of Christ. Now, this also applies to the whole congregation. We are one family in Christ. All of us together bear a responsibility to help bring up the children of the church and to help bring them to Jesus. All of us need to consider how we set an example before the children of the church who have big eyes and take everything in. Big ears, too. They need to see examples of faithfulness, of kindness, of tenderness, of forgiveness, of grace, of obedience to the Word of God, of interest in learning the Word of God, not just from their parents, but from the congregation. You need to show love and interest in the children. You need to be willing to serve in ministries to the children, if called upon and if able. You certainly need to be praying for parents and children. Look at the words of our Lord in verse 14. Permit the children to come to me. Now he's speaking there to the disciples who are not permitting them. Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them. Do not hinder them. Yes, that does apply immediately to the disciples. But I think it applies to all of us. It is a great sin to put obstacles between children and Jesus. You see that expressed in a negative way in the same chapter, back up in verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble into sin and unbelief, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone had been hung around his neck and he had been drowned in the ocean. That's serious. So all of us need to consider our words and our actions. We don't live just for ourselves. How do my words and my actions, how might they affect the children of the church, my own children in my family, either to draw them to Jesus or to repel them and give them excuses not to come to Him? When Jesus was done speaking, He took those little children, those babies, in His arms. He touched them. He pronounced blessing on them. And you have to think, who is blessing them? It is the Lord God in human flesh and blood, the Savior of sinners, young and old. If Jesus blessed them, they were blessed. You can be sure of that. For ourselves, do you want to spend eternity with God in the kingdom of God? Then you need to be as a little child and know your dependence upon God, your dependence upon His grace in Jesus Christ. You need to come in faith to Jesus for His saving blessing. And do you want Jesus to bless your children? Well, baptism was a good start. Jesus commanded it. But it's just a start. Bring your children to Jesus. And we as a church will do our best not to hinder them, but to help you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks to You for the gift You give in the gift of families, that You ordained marriage and the blessings that it gives to those who are married and who in their marriages submit to You and depend upon Your grace and are guided by Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the gift of children. And we pray that we may truly regard them as a gift, as a blessing from You, but also as a stewardship for which we are responsible. So help us, Lord, who are parents. Help us, Lord, who are the congregation in which parents find themselves. Help us as a family that includes children, young and old. Help us to be faithful to You by being faithful in loving and caring for our children. O Lord, we pray that as we bring them to You day by day, You would bless them with eternal blessing. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.